Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city.
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is Susan Puzio, and I want to. Oh dear, we've got some music playing in the background over here. Anyway, how is everybody today? Oh my goodness, what a week we had over here in the United States of America. Can hardly believe it. I'm telling you. I was in a state of shock with so many things that have been going on. But one thing we can know for sure, Jesus is Lord. So no matter what they do or they try to do, whatever the devil tries to do, God is on our side. And they can't get rid of Jesus. They tried many, many times unsuccessfully. So, wow, look up. Because redemption draweth nigh. And, oh my goodness, what is going on here? that song just keeps wanting to play for some reason. But we just have to encourage ourselves in the Lord. I'm reminded that, remember that song, I got along without you before I met you. I'm going to get along without you now. Remember that song? So that's what we can say to the social media giants and everybody else that might try to start censoring our speech sooner or later. The gospel, of course, we know that's going to come. And we did without them before. We might have to go back to snail mail. What are they going to do? Open everybody's letters and make sure you don't write letters. Are they going to stop you from sending mail? Who knows? But anyway, we can go back to doing things the way we always did it. Telephone, mail, before we had the internet, before we had Facebook and Twitter. That guy thinks he's the ruler of the world or something. And then they're saying they're going to shut down people's Gmail accounts. Oh, you know what? Who do these people think they are? They can't stop people from preaching the gospel. That's one thing for sure. They may be able to shut down their political opponents, or that you may not be able to share your ideologies. And so they think they can stop people from thinking. I don't think so. And you can't stop people from reading. Hopefully we'll have books. You never know. Some nations in the past, they burned books and they wouldn't allow people to read certain books. But one thing for sure, we have the book of books, and that's the Bible. So don't be discouraged, saints. I know it was like we felt like we were getting smacked around a little bit this week, because the events were so shocking, especially the shooting. Oh, dear, I keep starting this thing up for some reason. Anyway, especially the shooting of the young lady there, Ashley Babbitt, in the Capitol. And then I know there was one officer that was injured. And if you look at the video, it's on BitChute, because some of the other places you can't look at the video, they won't let you look at it, the actual shooting. And it's very, very disturbing, very disturbing. The girl was unarmed, and she was standing. If you go to BitChute, you can see the actual shooting, and it's It's very disturbing even to look at it. And the girl was standing in a doorway, and there was like a barricade, I guess, to get into the Senate offices where they have their offices, Nancy Pelosi's and Chuck Schumer's and those offices. But there was a doorway with windows, I guess, and somebody had broken out the glass, and she was standing there by that broken window. I guess she was going to try to get into those, to the hallway where the offices were, but she posed no threat. She wasn't armed. And all of a sudden, you see this gun coming out of a doorway, and it's a pistol, and they just shoot her for no reason. Usually, if you're going to warn somebody, get down or I'll shoot. But there was no warning. And apparently, I haven't confirmed it, but they said that it was Chuck Schumer's security detail anyway that shot this girl. Beautiful young lady, died for nothing. And so, you know, I'm not 100% sure who started all this, but they have a saying for the in the New World Order that they make order out of chaos. Well, they sure caused a lot of chaos. And there was people there. To me, it looked like professional demonstrators, because there was people there with these gas canisters that were shooting pepper spray or mace at the Capitol Police. And the spray that was coming out of these canisters, it looked like it was about 3 or 4 inches wide. So who was doing that? And most people that go to these marches don't bring batons with them. The whole thing, it's very curious. I don't know how much of the truth will ever get out. But it was a most disturbing scene. And then the hatred toward the president. Now, I have my own issues with the president, but I don't agree with this constant hatred and trying to do things to hurt him or his family and whatever false accusations that they make. I mean, the truth is the truth, and the truth has to be told. But the propaganda is a bit much. Of course, if you look at, and you could go to this website, and the website is called Protestia, and they have a story there. Now, it's a most alarming story. It's very hard to even look at this article, and it's a story of the University of Pittsburgh doing experiments, and they use mice. They're taking mice, and they're taking, this is hard to listen to. They're taking the scalps from aborted babies and grafting them onto the mice. So we can ask ourselves, why is God judging this country? He has to judge us. He has to judge us, because nobody, including any Democrat or any Republican, has done anything to stop these kind of experiments from going forward. But he's got the article there. And let me see if I can get the headline for you here. You just have to cry when you see these kind of things. And then you wonder why nobody in our government has done anything, or even all the pro-life groups that are taking in millions of dollars to stop these things from going on. I'm wondering how come nobody does anything. But he says that in this article from Protestia, a shocking new report from the National comes from the National Catholic Register, describes how scientists at the University of Pittsburgh in Pennsylvania recently used scalps from aborted babies to create humanized mice to study the human immune system. Grisly photos of their research were published in the scientific report, in the journal Scientific Reports, show the aborted baby scalps already with wisps of hair growing on them attached to mice and rats. Now, who does that? Who does that kind of thing? And who's funding the research for these universities? And what president and what congressman and what senator and what governor and what pro-life group has done anything to stop these atrocities? They have not. They have not. So, God is a God of mercy. But eventually, he has to judge us for these things. And so, you can wonder why there's all this political upheaval and it's one of the reasons I believe President Trump didn't get reelected is because he allowed this Johnson & Johnson vaccine to go forward and even recommended it when it contains aborted baby cells in it. And you can look, it's on the Johnson & Johnson website if you don't believe it. They say it themselves that they use these cells in the vaccine. And you can also go to, it's a Catholic website. Now, you know I don't recommend Catholicism, but it's a Catholic website that posted the documentation, and it's called the Children of God for Life. And you can see the actual documentation there on the vaccines and what is used in the vaccine. So there was no way that God was going to be on his side after he did that. And then, of course, these experiments that are going on, which should have been stopped. If you're really pro-life and you're really a pro-life president, then you do everything you can to stop these kind of things from going on. So we're in the 20th, 21st century, and we're so barbaric. The society has become so barbaric and so cold. That how can anyone go to work in the morning and then go into a lab and perform these kind of experiments? It's beyond belief. You can't even believe it. So we must, as a church, we must stay close to the Lord, because where is our hope? Our hope is in God. We can't trust in the government. We can't trust in the institutions that we think we can trust in. We can only trust the Lord Jesus Christ. He's our only hope. So even though the days look dark, the censorship that's going to come, the persecution that's going to come, and it's not going to be pleasant. It's not going to be pleasant. We just don't know what's up ahead for us. And I know someone had posted something, and they were saying that when God is getting ready to judge a nation, that he gives us the most evil rulers. And so it seems to be true. And anyway, like I said, we have to stay close to the Lord, and we have to just read our Bibles like we've never read them before to stay strong in these wicked, evil days. Oh, I never thought I was going to see the things that I'm seeing ever, just ever. But we're seeing it, and we could only say, come quickly, Lord Jesus, amen, because we didn't think, most of us, of course, when we grew up in the 1960s, and we remember protests, all people protested the Vietnam War, and oh, there was all kinds of protesting and marches and civil disobedience going on. And even at one point, and it kind of gives you like a PTSD from when you were growing up. I was a teenager in the 1960s, and there was college students, especially on college campuses, they were protesting the Vietnam War, which was an unjust war. Yes, it was. And they came, I think it was the National Guard. I can't remember exactly, but they came and they were started shooting the students that were protesting. Now, we were in shock over it. We just were in shock. We could not believe it. We were watching these beautiful young people get shot. And they didn't have guns. They were just protesting. So there's so many things that happen in our history that you say to yourself, how did this happen? But it did. But it did. So, of course, at that time, I didn't know the Lord. And now that we know God, we know that he's going to protect us no matter what we see. But when you grow up, there were so many political assassinations. We saw the president, John F. Kennedy, get assassinated. We saw Dr. Martin Luther King get assassinated. We saw Robert Kennedy get assassinated. It was like one thing after another. And it was so cold and so brutal of a time to have to go through that. So it brings back memories to me. And even, I think I was 13 or 14 when John F. Kennedy got shot. And it was traumatizing. I mean, we were all traumatized because even at that age, he was so charismatic. He was very flawed, a very flawed human being, no doubt. But yet, he was so charismatic and everybody loved him. And when he got shot, we were just devastated over it. And the funeral and all, it was beyond belief. And then we watched Lee Harvey Oswald shoot Jack Ruby right before our eyes. Well, we were all glued to the television. And they had 24-hour coverage back then, which they never did at that time. There was only like three networks, CBS, ABC, and NBC, I think. And it was 24-hour coverage. We just stayed glued to that TV set. And then all of a sudden, this guy gets shot right in front of us. The guy that supposedly shot John F. Kennedy. They still don't know who really did it. And they still won't release. I don't know why they don't release the documents. I can't figure that one out, is why they don't really. What are they trying to hide? So there's still documents from that happened in 1963 that they won't release. And here it is, 2021, and they still haven't released all the documents. So I don't understand it. But anyway, I wanted to play an audio from Mark Dice, and he's on YouTube. I don't know how much longer, I don't know how much longer they're going to keep him there because he made some videos the other day, and of course he's got a right to his opinion, and it wasn't anything really controversial except that he just mentioned some things that happened at the Capitol. And even if you look at some of the videos from this whole thing that happened at the Capitol, there was one video where the Capitol Police actually opened the doors and let some of these protesters in. So I'm not sure if usually the Capitol building is open to the public, because you know when they have hearings, there's people up in those balconies screaming things at people. And so I don't know if they were letting them into the gallery or what, but they actually opened the door and let some of these people in. It wasn't that everybody was breaking into this place, and you can actually see the videos of that. But anyway, he wasn't saying anything controversial. He just happened to mention the name Trump, and in the same sentence what happened at the Capitol. And they had the video taken down off of YouTube. So, you know, give me a break. Oh, dear. I don't know. I guess somebody, some clever Christian, has to come up with an alternative. What do we have to do? Go back to using Morse code to communicate with each other? Or develop some kind of phone, internet service? I guess somebody's going to come up with something, because eventually we're going to have nothing to do with Google and Spotify and Twitter and Facebook and all these social media platforms. Eventually, they're probably going to ban most of us anyway. So we may have to find alternatives. And I'm sure people will come up with something, because you can't stop free speech. You can't stop free speech. People should be allowed to say whatever they think. It's a free country, so you're allowed to have political opinions or religious opinions, wrong or right. You still should be able to voice those opinions without being afraid that somebody's going to come, you know, the secret police are going to come and knock on your door because of your political opinions, you know. Anyway, let's listen to a little of what Mark Dias has to say.
Still here for now, but as you know, the big purge has only just begun. And in case you missed it, I did post a video the other day on YouTube about the situation at the United States Capitol on Wednesday, but the video was removed because I showed a clip of the President of the United States that he posted on his social media accounts before it was censored, telling the protesters to go home and to be peaceful once the protests got carried away. But you're not allowed to contradict the mainstream media's narrative, as they're claiming that the president was encouraging the unrest when he did exactly the opposite once the situation got out of control. I posted the video on my BitChute channel and my Rumble channel, and if anything happens to my YouTube channel, then you know where to find me. As I'm sure you heard, President Trump has been banned from Twitter for life, making Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey in many ways more powerful than the President of the United States. And even before that happened, Mark Zuckerberg locked him out of his Facebook page, supposedly only until after the inauguration of old Joe, just to ensure a peaceful transition of power. But it's highly unlikely that Facebook will allow him to post ever again as well. Same with Instagram. Since the first Obama administration, Twitter has maintained a POTUS Twitter account, the President of the United States, and that account is transferred from one president to the next. So while they did ban the real Donald Trump account, the POTUS account was still up. So President Trump started tweeting from that account, and so then they locked that account as well until old Joe is given access to it, and Twitter deleted those tweets. He'll probably join Parler perhaps any minute now. Yesterday, Sean Hannity falsely claimed that he already had. That wasn't true. There's an account that's been reserved for him, but so far he hasn't activated it, but any minute now he may finally do that. And as expected, the Android App Store banned the Parler app, so if you still have it on your phone, you might be able to use it, and Apple is probably going to ban them any minute now as well. If you already downloaded Parler onto your Apple device, then you could probably still use it, but new downloads are not going to be allowed. But I wouldn't be surprised if Parler just goes completely offline, because I don't think most people understand like how bad this is going to get. They're already going after their hosting service, probably their domain registrar as well, just like they did for Gab. A lot of people probably aren't familiar with that. Gab was the first sort of Twitter alternative, and I don't think got the respect that they deserve. Still up and functioning. You should actually follow me on Gab as well. You should join Gab. They have their own server, but their domain registrar a few years ago gave them, I think, 24-hour notice to find a new host of the domain name itself. And these people are so worked up, they're probably going to get the domain registrars to not even allow Parler and Gab and others to host a domain name, let alone have a hosting service host the content. That's how bad things are going to get. And if you read my book, The Liberal Media Industrial Complex, then you would know that Google employees had discussions after President Trump was elected about banning him and all of his staff from having Gmail accounts and bricking their Android phones because Google owns the Android operating system. They literally had discussions about shutting down their email addresses and their cell phones. And now Brian Stelter's sidekick, Oliver Darcy, who was the chief cheerleader to get Alex Jones deplatformed everywhere, is contacting all of the major cable providers trying to get them to dump Fox News, Newsmax, and OAN. As bad as you may think things are going to get, it's going to get worse. And I've been trying to brace you for this. The United States is going to collapse. America has fallen. It certainly was fun while it lasted, but all good things must come to an end. So thanks to all you guys who've been watching my videos over the last several years. Some of you longer, but some of you guys have been watching me for 10, how long have I been on YouTube? Now 15 years on YouTube, so it's been a good run. So I'll keep doing it as long as I can, but who knows? I'm sure that however long old Joe is the president, which I'd be willing to bet it's not much more than 2 years until about, I'd say just after the 2022 midterms, he'll go out to pastor, or Kamala will push him out, they'll 25th Amendment him. I'm sure that he will provide us with some comedic relief, but it's going to be tough going forward. Oh, and I almost forgot, President Trump, he still, at least at this moment, has a website, but I'm sure that they'll probably steal a domain name from him. But his store has been shut down, his online store, because Shopify, one of the big online fulfillment centers, has banned him from selling any Trump merchandise. And I wouldn't be surprised if all major retailers like Amazon and everybody else bans the sale of Make America Great Again hats and any pro-Trump related merchandise whatsoever. They're going to say it's a hate symbol, just like the liberals' favorite historical figure that they like to compare President Trump to, and they're going to say that his merch and that symbol is just one and the same.
You can't believe it, right? You can't believe it. Oh, dear. Anyway, we have God's word in our hearts, and they can't take that away from us. Even in some societies, they tried to take people's Bibles, and when the Bible was being translated into languages that people could understand, and we got the printing press, and they started printing Bibles, and they tried to stop it. They tried to stop people from having God's word, and who knows, they may ban the Bible as a book in days to come, but we'll hide our Bibles and we'll hide that word in our heart. And that's something that they can't take away from us. So, like I said, we might have to go back to other forms of communication like we had before we had computers. And this is mainly a recent thing, really, is to have these home computers and then to have all these social media platforms, which it's a great way for us to be able to communicate with each other and for us to have friends and friends that think like us, even friends that don't think like us. I can listen to other people's opinions without being hateful. And so, but it doesn't mean that I have to agree with them, but I can still have friends that I don't agree with. Although most people that don't agree with our way of thinking don't really want to be our friends. You know? That's usually the way it goes. And so, oh, saints, thank God we know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And we know that he is going to make sure that whatever happens, we're going to make it. We're going to make it. And things are happening so fast that it's hard to take it all in, isn't it? I keep saying to myself, I never thought I was going to be living through these days with this pandemic, and then with all this censorship. We used to hear about these things years ago, and then it was just so in the future. That's what we thought. We thought for sure, all this is in the future. It's not going to happen in our lifetime. We're not going to see all these things come to pass, even though the Bible says we would eventually see all these things come to pass. But we do see evil on the rise. We really do see evil on the rise. But I was comforted in the past few days, because you think to yourself, okay, as far as the government of this world goes, they think, oh wow, we've got the power now. So But just watch and see what's going to happen. They're going to start turning on each other. And because they're all so power hungry, it's going to be fun to watch when they when this one wants this power, and you better not mess with my power. And also something curious that happened was somebody took that was in the Capitol. Somebody took or got a hold of Nancy Pelosi's laptop. So I wonder what's on that. You know, if they could ever get rid of it. And they happened to be able to find some of the people that broke into the Capitol, I guess through facial recognition is really the only way I could think that they could find these people. But notice when people were burning down cities, nobody was going out of their way to find these people or to stop these people. They let them burn and they let them loot. And you just cannot believe how lopsided everything is. So any kind of violence is wrong. It's wrong. Yes, and people should be punished when they hurt other people and they destroy property. But you don't see it happening in so many instances. And you could really shake your head and say, wow, I give up because this. But Jesus said that his kingdom is not of this world. So we know that God has a government. I like his government a lot better, because his government has is righteousness and truth. And so I like belonging to his kingdom. I like his government. And we have to pray for those in authority for sure. And pray for their salvation. Dear, they need it. They really, really need it. But anyway, I wanted to mention to you that my new book, Paula White, Renegade Presidential Spiritual Advisor, Heretic in the White House, the miracle-selling huckster who became the spiritual advisor to the world's most powerful man, is available on Amazon for the next 5 days. The Kindle edition, if you have an Amazon account, it's available for free for you to read. So it starts today and it will be there for the next 5 days. So you might want to check that out. And anyway, how did you like that? what they were saying the other day about using the proper pronouns? Did you hear that guy that was praying to the monolithic God? Amen and a woman. And then he said, close this with amen and a woman. And then they're telling you what kind of pronouns you're going to be allowed to use. They're going to take away he and she and mother and father and sister and brother. Are they crazy? What? These people are crazy, honest. I'm not using their pronouns. I've got news for them. They can keep their pronouns because I'm not using them. I wanted to talk a little bit about this $78 million, or maybe more even, that went to the churches during the pandemic to bail out the churches. Now, of course, they don't pay taxes. So how come they receive government funding from the Small Business Administration to keep their ministries alive? And they did. They received these loans. Well, and apparently they don't have to pay back these loans. But I just have a feeling, now I could be wrong, but I just have a feeling that this new administration just might make them have to pay this money back, because I don't think they're going to be big fans of evangelical Christians. But I'm just going to name a few of these people here, and you'll see. Now, these are people that are supposed to live by faith, but they only live by 10% alone, most of these people. So anyway, Che Ann of Harvest Rock Church received $311,000, And supposedly he's got 34 employees. And so he has to make sure they get paid. Ernest Angley, televangelist Ernest Angley, who's been found to be a pervert and was sued for sexual abuse, and he settled the lawsuit out of court. He got $375,000, and he supposedly has 83 employees. And you can see this information on the Trinity. It's trinityfi.org. And if you go there, you can see this whole list. And this is quite a long list. Now, also you have televangelist Jim Baker. Jim Baker. He got almost $500,000. And he's got 39 employees. Yeah, $500,000, Jim Baker. More, and also his church. Oh, look, he got more money. He almost got $1 million. His Morningside church retreat, that was the church production company, got $500,000. Morningside church retreat got $198,000. And Morningside church management got another $194,000. So he got almost $1 million, Jim Baker. Yeah, Jim Baker. And then you have Jonathan Bernis from Jewish Voice. He's always begging for money on TV. And he got almost $1 million. And he says he's got 73 employees. Now, he produces a TV program, Jewish Voice. And so I don't know, Jonathan, can't you get money from donations? Oh, well, they were giving away this money for free, so I guess they figured they'd help. Now, here's another one that's supposedly like sells millions of books. John and Lisa Bevere, and their ministry is called Messenger International. They've got $542,000, and they supposedly have 37 employees. That's a pretty good-sized ministry. Yeah, John and Lisa Bevere were looking for a handout. And they do, none of these ministries file 990 reports that I'm naming. Mike Bickle. Mike Bickle now. Mike Bickle, the big man of faith, International House of Prayer. He got $2,514,000. And supposedly, look at this, he's got 473 employees. Now, how do you figure that? 473 employees? I don't think so. Mike Bickle. And then Mike Bickle got even more money. He got his International House of Prayer Forerunner Christian Fellowship got $215,000. And he has 61 employees. Claude Bowers, here's, oh dear, this is a beggar con artist if there ever was one, from the WACX-TV in Orlando. He got $168,000. He's not making enough money from selling airtime to pay his bills. No, he's got to go get a handout. Yeah. Then you have the Branham, Joseph Branham. Now, believe it or not, Branham's been dead for how many years? And they take in, and these are documents, court documents, or I don't know if they do file a 990 or whatever. Yeah, they file a 990. So if you go on, I think, 990 Finder, if you want to look up these documents for yourself, you can see for yourself. They at one point were taking in $100 million a year. Now, how does a dead person take in $100 million a year for his ministry? Figure that one out. But they do. And anyway, Even with all that money they've been taking in, Joseph Branham, which I don't know if that's his son or his cousin or who, I'll have to find out. But Voice of God Recordings is the name of the ministry. They have 107 employees for a dead person, and they took 1.1 About $1,162,000. That must be nice, right? Tony and Cynthia Brazelton, another man of faith and power, supposedly, always blah, blah, blabbing about how God blesses them and gives them jets and, you know, all kinds of lavish things. Victory Christian Ministries, they had to take $319,000 because God didn't come through for them. And they have 27 employees. Jamal Bryant. Now, Jamal Bryant, he's always, you know, bad-mouthing the government or whatever. And but he didn't mind getting a handout, right? Jamal Bryant, he did not mind taking a handout. When they were giving him a handout, the U.S. government, Jamal took $462,000 from New Birth Missionary Baptist Church. And he supposedly has 42 employees. Yeah. Happy Caldwell. Remember him from Word of Faith days? Happy Caldwell. He's another one that's got jets and mansions. And so, no, but he's got Victory Television Network. Now, now the government has to fund these television networks, right? He got $219,000. So it says here in the side note, at the end of 2018, Victory Television Network had $14 million in total assets, which included a cash reserve of more than $1 million. So, Happy, how come you needed that $219,000 from taxpayers? Now, Morris Cirillo, here's another joker, right? Morris Cirillo, World Evangelism. Another huckster, if there ever was one. He took almost $1 million, and he's got 89 employees. It says in December 2019, Cirilla's ministry opened a $190 million themed resort. And according to the San Diego Union Tribune, the project was built debt-free. Yeah, but that wasn't enough for Morris. He had to go. The government was handing out payroll protection money, and they decided that they needed $1 million. And here's the Christian Television Network, and I'm very familiar with them here in my neck of the woods. Christian Television Network, who takes in millions of dollars selling airtime, and who's also owned by a multimillionaire or the president of the organization, Bob DeAndre. They also had to get $1 million to keep their network going, you know, and they have 115 employees. Matthew Crouch, now here, Matthew Crouch, now look at this one. Matthew Crouch from TBN, and you all know that TBN is worth over $1 billion. They have assets all over the world, real estate, and they have a big, very expensive mansion in Colorado. I don't know if it was $24 million or something like that. And, of course, they have all these buildings everywhere. Now, Matt had to get a handout. Matt Crouch, he needed a handout. Don't you feel sorry for him? Well, average Americans and people that are losing their businesses aren't getting this kind of money. No, they give you $600. But Matthew Crouch got $3.3 million. Yeah. Trinity Broadcasting of Texas, $3.3 million. And supposedly they have 336 employees that they had to pay because, you know, they probably take over $50 million or $100 million a year in selling airtime, but that wasn't enough money to run their ministry. No, they had to go get some money from the government. And then you have Dr. Tony Evans. Of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship, he took $2.3 million. Yes, Jensen Franklin, he had to get a handout. Jensen Franklin took almost $2 million from the payroll protection program. Yes, Jensen needed a handout. Don't you feel sorry for Jensen? Yes, as he flies around on his private jet. I don't know if he's got a private jet. I'll have to check. Most of these people, though, they have private jets. They live in mansions. Oh, but they needed some taxpayer funding. Here's another joke. Stephen Furtick. Now, poor Stephen. He's not getting enough money from television time and from tithes and offerings. Stephen Furtick took almost $4 million from the payroll protection plan. Now, he says that he has 377 employees. Figure that. Jack Graham now. Jack has how many campuses? He brags. He's got all these campuses all over. I don't know if he's got 10. Of course, Jack, I know you're not taking in enough money from your tithes and offerings and your television program. You, Jack Graham, had to take $3.3 million from the WV Grant. WV Grant needed some money. Of course. He got $40,000, WV Grant. John Gray of Relentless Church. Now, he's another one that always tells you, you know, if you tithe and you give your money, God's going to bless you. But God didn't bless him. No, God didn't bless him. He had to get a loan from the government for $1.2 million, even though his church purchased him a $1.8 million home. That's his pastoral lodging there. Yes, poor John Gray. Don't you feel sorry for these people? I think we're in the wrong business. I do. Kenneth Hagin, the great Word of Faith preachers over there in Tulsa, Jerusalem, Rhema Bible Church, they needed a handout. They needed $1.5 million. Yes, $1.5 million. Then we have Mac Hammond of Living Word Christian Fellowship. Mac Hammond took almost $3 million. And it says several weeks before applying for the PPP loan, his ministry, Mac Hammond's ministry, purchased Jesse Duplantis's old Falcon 50 jet. And Hammond's church also owns another private jet, a Cessna 650, which it obtained in the fall of 2019. But yet, Mac needed a handout. Benny Hinn, another con artist that tells you if you give seeds, sow seeds, and you tithe and whatever, God's going to give you money. But Benny, God wasn't in his corner, and Benny took almost $700,000. Larry Huck, the huckster, he took $514,000. T.D. Jakes is so rich. He's got a big, huge mansion. I'm sure he probably has a private jet. He's got television money, tithe money that people give over there at that Potter's house. But no, T.D. needed the handout, and he took $2.5 million. Robert Jeffers, he needed a handout too. Robert Jeffers took, he took almost $4 million, Robert Jeffers. Don't you feel sorry for him? I think if they're going to take money from the government, they better stop collecting tithes and offerings. That's what I think. Stop telling people God's going to bless you by tithing and seed sowing, and then you're going looking for government handouts, taking taxpayer money to fund your ministries. David Jeremiah. Now, isn't he a respected man, right? David Jeremiah. He has assets reported at $22 million, but yet he needed a handout, and he took $2 million from the payroll protection plan. Now, look at that. Yeah, of course, we know Marcus and Joni Lamb took $4 million, but they paid it back after they were outed on Inside Edition. They were totally embarrassed. And of course they took money. Now here's Greg Laurie, another man that'll tell you, you know, you have to tithe to get blessings. But yet Greg wasn't getting blessed. No. Harvest Christian Fellowship took almost $3 million. Carl Lentz took almost $1 million. Guillermo Maldonado, another big huckster, con artist, took $2 million because God wasn't blessing him. Joyce Meyer. Now look at this. Joyce Meyer, who owns mansions. I don't know how many, her own jet, how much Joyce Meyer Ministry is worth. Joyce Meyer took $5 million from payroll protection plan. She's got supposedly 402 people she has to pay, and she didn't have the money. I don't know. I guess tithing and seed sowing is not working for these people, right? I don't know. We better have a teaching session for them. Paul Morton of Greater St. Stephen's, he didn't mind taking some government money, $253,000. Here's a real joke here. Joel Osteen took almost $5 million. Joel Osteen took almost $5 million. Now, isn't he like the biggest selling author? And he's got a $10 million house? But Joel didn't have any money. We got to feel sorry for him. $5 million. Rod Parsley, another man that blabs about Passover offerings and first fruits offerings and tithing and seed sowing. But God didn't bless Rod in 2020. And Rod had to take $1.7 million because he's got 165 employees he has to pay. And here's another joke. Frederick Price, he took almost $2 million, Crenshaw Christian Center. Richard Roberts, now poor Richard. Richard needed a handout. Wouldn't you like to get one of these handouts, right? $370,000. Richard Roberts. Oh, here's another. Oh, don't you feel sorry. Sarah Jakes, who's TD's daughter, and her husband, Torrey. Potter's House of Denver, those tithes and offerings were not rolling in during the pandemic, and they took $229,000. I guess that was their salary. They have 22 employees. Sid Roth, Sid, who's always blabbing about Seed Faith. Poor Sid, he's got zero employees, it says. Zero employees, but yet Sid had to have almost $600,000 with zero employees. Bobby Shuler, that's the grandson of Robert. Poor Bobby Shuler, he had to take $414,000. Now, Jay Sekulow and Pat Robinson for the American Center of Law and Justice. Jay Sekulow's not making enough money. Either it's Pat Robinson, he takes in $200, $300 million a year. You could see his $990 on 990 Finder, and it is reported there, even though he sells for something, I don't know, $50 million or $100 million a year in airtime, they still need more money, you know. And poor Pat and Jay, they needed $1.2 million. And then you have Carrie Shook, Fellowship of the Woodlands Church. He needed almost $1.5 million. Let's see, the Summeralls, oh, the poor Summeralls, oh, they don't have enough money. They own a network, a satellite network, and other TV stations and radio stations around the world. They don't have enough money. They had to take almost $2 million. Here's another joke. Jimmy Swagger, who's always begging for money. He has telethons at least once a month. And they need $40 million or whatever to take up their, to keep their ministry going there. They also collect tithes and offerings. But poor Jimmy, he didn't have enough, so he took almost $3 million. Yes, Chuck Swindoll, the best-selling author. And poor Chuck, he didn't have enough money either, so he took $2 million. Even David E. Taylor had his hand in the pot. And David E. Taylor, he's got three employees. Three employees. And that's Joshua Media Ministries. But he only took $31,000. I guess maybe he needed a new car or something, right? Casey Treat. That's another word of faither, who didn't have enough faith to trust God, and he took $506,000. Chris Vallotton, Bethel Media took almost 500,000. Rick Warren, now don't you feel sorry for Rick Warren? He had that best-selling book. He was probably, who knows how many tens of millions of dollars he's worth. Poor Rick Warren, he had to take 500,000, plus he took another 200,000, so he got about 800,000. Rick Warren, I guess those book sales are dwindling, right? Paula White. Paula White, she didn't have enough money, even though she recently took, it came to light as some documents have been released recently, some of Paula's financial documents. And Paula, one year at Pastor Appreciation Day, now wouldn't you like this to happen to you? When was the last time somebody put $50,000 in your hand, you know? Pastor Appreciation Day over there at New Destiny, Paula White got $50,000. Yeah. Well, I don't know. I think we should have a Appreciation Day for ourselves, right? Those Pastor Appreciation Days, those are some lucrative days on the map. Here's Bill Winston. Bill Winston. All the money that Bill Winston had, Bill Winston's church owns a private Gulfstream jet. And so, but Bill Winston, with all his blabbing too about tithing and giving, blah, blah, and how God will bless you, poor, poor Bill. He had to take almost $2 million. Coral Ridge Ministries there in, Coral Gables, Florida, they needed some money too. Those tithes and offerings weren't rolling in, and they needed $354,000. And Ed Young Jr., we even had he dipped his hand there in the pie, and he got $1.5 million. And Ravi Zacharias, who we were going to talk about today, I don't know how much time we're going to have. Well, we have enough time to talk about him, but Ravi Zacharias took $1.6 million. And so that's it. That's it. How do you like that, right? Yeah. Well, most Americans were suffering, and they were fighting. The government was fighting back and forth about how much money they were going to give people. And they just recently said that they're going to send $600. And then the Democrats said, well, if you vote for us, we'll give you $1,200. You know, the world is crazy. The world is crazy. Yeah, Chuck Swindoll. Yeah, I know the name sounds like Swindler. It does. But it's crazy. The whole thing is crazy because so many people are suffering in this country, and they're truly suffering, especially some of these states where people are locked down. They can't have their restaurants. They can't have their gyms. They can't have their beauty salons. They can't have their nail salons. They can't work. They can't provide for their families the way they're used to providing. And these are people that want to work. These are not lazy people. These are business people. And yet they give these hucksters and these swindlers millions of dollars. Anyway, God knows all about it, and I'm sure the Lord's not pleased, but so this scandal, of course, Ravi Zacharias is now deceased and he's gone. Hopefully he repented before he died, but he left behind a terrible legacy. He really, really did. I had never listened to Ravi Zacharias. I had heard about him. And one night when I was driving in my car, I had this Christian radio station on, and he came on. So I said, well, I'll listen to him, see what he has to say. And I thought he was a very eloquent speaker. He was interesting. He wasn't a boring speaker. He could hold your attention. And so I listened to him, and then all of a sudden he starts talking about the Catholic Church, and I'm like, oh, please, like talking favorably about the Catholic Church. And so I found out a little bit about him after that. I said, well, let me look and see if I can find out about this guy, and I saw that he had spoken at a Mormon gathering. Well, actually, they wanted to have a meeting, and they said they wanted to invite him back to Utah, and they said they didn't have a place big enough to hold his crowds. So they asked if they could speak at the Mormon Tabernacle there. And so, yeah, he went there to the Mormon Tabernacle, and there was Mormons on the platform, and there was so-called evangelicals on the platform. And I found it very shocking, really, but I could see where his push for coming together, where these religions should come together, and the ecumenical movement. It's a dangerous thing when you start stepping over onto the wild side. You know, you have to keep your doctrine straight, and you have to keep your association straight. Whether you get meetings or you don't get meetings, whether you get invitations or you don't get invitations, you can't go and start fellowshipping with these people with the unfruitful works of darkness, because you have to be careful about your associations, especially if you have any kind of a public ministry at all. So anyway, he goes there, and he's getting himself into trouble, which, of course, that's going to happen. When you start compromising, you will get yourself into trouble. And so he did. He started to do things that were inappropriate with women, and he lied about it. He had to pay one woman off for this Lori Ann Thompson, who was supposedly he was having an inappropriate relationship with over the phone and through texting and things like that. And she was going to go public with the information, and he said he was going to kill himself. Now, at the time when these allegations first came out, and I think it was either 2015 or 2016 when the allegations first came out about him, it was hard to believe. It was hard to believe because he was so well respected, and they weren't really putting out any evidence. The lori wasn't, this Lori Ann Thompson, the lady, and she's a married lady too. And so was he married. So the story that came out was that they were trying to extort him. And apparently she sent him these photos that were not appropriate, and he didn't ask for the photos. And then this is the story, I think, that came out from his side. She sent him these photos, and then she was going to make it public, and they wanted $5 million to be quiet. So at first, when I heard these stories, I didn't know what to make of it, because if I'm going to report on something, I want to make sure I have evidence to back up what I'm saying. I'm just not going to accuse people, especially of something like this, unless you have documented evidence, which you have to have. And it's not enough, really, just to have witness testimony. Although, yes, witness testimony is important, but you have to have evidence before you can convict somebody of a crime, especially somebody that was as well known as he was in evangelical circles. But anyway, he settled a lawsuit with her, or he made a settlement with her, and she had to sign a non-disclosure agreement, which meant she couldn't talk about it. And so the evidence then never came out. I don't know how much money they gave her, but they gave her something. But the one piece of evidence that did come out to the public was the fact that Ravi Zacharias told her in an email or a text message that if she threatened to tell her husband before they paid her off, that she was going to confess everything to her husband, that him and her were having this phone immorality thing going on and these sexting things. And so anyway, Bobby Zacharias told her, please don't do that. Don't tell your husband. Don't bring it out because I'll have to kill myself. Basically, he was saying he was going to commit suicide. So there was that evidence, and that bothered me. I was thinking to myself, okay, if he's got nothing to hide and he's innocent, then why is he saying he's going to kill himself if the evidence comes out? The thing is, how did he think he was going to get away with it? Because it's one thing the Lord taught me early on in my Christian walk with Susan, remember something. When you do something wrong with another person, something immoral, you know it and they know it. So you can be guaranteed that even if you never say anything about it, they will. They will, especially if you become a public figure and you become a rich public figure. Somebody is going to say, yes, I think I would like a little bit of that money that person has, and I have some stuff on them, and I'm going to tell it. Whatever you did before you got saved is irrelevant. That doesn't matter. But after you get saved and you become a public figure and you become a wealthy public figure, there's going to be somebody saying, remember when we did this and remember when we did that, and then you're going to have to pay them off, which he had to do. He had to pay her off. So then she was quiet. And then after he died, she wanted the family to release her from the non-disclosure agreement so that she could tell her story, which I thought to myself, I don't know why she wants to do that. She signed it. She got paid. Is she going to give back the money that she got? Because she claimed she was traumatized. Now, also, this lady, Lorianne Thompson, claims that she was a victim of her father's pedophilia. And I'm sure that is very traumatizing. I can only imagine. I've never experienced that myself, so I can't say one way or the other. I know anybody that's been molested as a child, yes, you can have after effects of that, and you can have panic attacks, and some people even have post-traumatic stress over those events. So I can hardly imagine if your father is doing something to you. But anyway, she claims that she had deep psychological problems and that Ravi Zacharias was grooming her and taking advantage of her, and that her and her husband had to go and spend thousands of dollars on counseling because they were so traumatized over what Ravi did to them. Well, I found that a little hard to believe at first, because I'm thinking, well, you're a grown woman. I think she was in her 30s at the time when this happened. I'm thinking, well, you know, if somebody makes a pass at you, even if they're married, for me, I don't get traumatized over it. I just say the guy's a jerk. But so I couldn't understand what she was talking about, because she could have said no, and that would have been the end of it. But yet it seemed like she willfully engaged in this conduct with him. So I had my doubts really about what was going on. And anyway, after he died, it was reported that he had a spa. He opened a spa, I think it was outside of Atlanta, and it was supposed to be for this special type of Indian medicine. I'm going to mispronounce it. I know Ayurvedic medicine, and they had a masseuse there. Apparently, he had a bad back, and he needed a place to go where he could go anytime and get a massage, which I thought was kind of weird. It's like, who opens their own massage facility, you know? I thought that was a little strange. What evangelist goes and opens his own storefront with a masseuse there, or several women masseuses anyway, that some of these women were imported from India. And so it came out that he was acting inappropriately. The women were saying that he was doing things he shouldn't have been doing there. And so then, of course, the story really started to have legs. And his ministry, they investigated it. Well, I guess they were more interested in, I think at one point I saw where they had $40 million that came in to their ministry. I don't remember exactly when that was, but it seemed like it was a prosperous ministry. And so he opened this clinic where, of course, they had their own private masseuses, and they had a place where people could bathe in oils or something. Anyway, it just was weird. And the women started coming forward, and the ministry investigated, but they didn't really want to accept it, or they tried to brush it under the rug, because look, if you're taking in millions of dollars and you like your big salary and all that, yeah, you might compromise a little bit on the truth and try to cover things up so you could save your skin and you could care less about his victims. But the story just kept coming out, and they couldn't hide it anymore. So they finally listened to all the women, and they gathered all the evidence, and they made the decision that, yes, it was true what he was doing. And he was very inappropriate. He had some very terrible problems in that area where he couldn't control his sexual desires. And so he was a married man, but yet he decided to choose perversion. This is no uncommon thing, though, that happens with men or women that decide that they're going to compromise somehow their ministry by becoming ecumenical, or he apparently had lied about some of his credentials and affiliating with the Catholic Church. And so there were so many areas in his own life where he had made compromises. And then, of course, he was so revered and idolized by people that it went to his head. So then what happens is then, well, they figure, well, I can help myself then. I have all these female admirers. So it's like any rock star or actor. Some of these people in ministry where they say, well, I'm just going to enjoy my fame, and I'm going to enjoy this adulation. And so they decide they're going to take a little walk on the wild side. It never ends well, though. It never ends well. They're of the opinion that they're not going to get caught. But how stupid can you be? And apparently he was using some kind of a device or used a BlackBerry or something. So then when he was emailing her or texting her or whatever he was doing, the application would totally be deleted and it could never be found again. So he had it going on as far as how he was playing his game. And so anyway, he had a business partner, and the man's name was Sharma, and the man invested in this massage. Basically, I'm going to call it a massage parlor. It was his own massage. It seemed like it was his own massage parlor there. And so when his partner there, Sharma, found out, he was hearing these accusations, and the women were coming to him, the female employees, saying that Ravi was inappropriate and doing things that they didn't want to be alone with him in the room. And at first he tried to brush it off because he said that he just adored him. He just thought of the world of him, and he couldn't believe it because he had been his friend for many, many years and had traveled with him. And he said he was such a good man. He was so kind and so generous, but yet he had this thing that he couldn't control. And it's like so many of us, if there's something in your life that you can't get a handle on, you have to cry out to God for help and ask him to help you. But they don't. They don't. Instead of doing the right thing and making sure that, okay, if they can't control themselves, that they have somebody with them or they have somebody to back them up where they can't commit the acts that they commit, but they just won't control themselves. They just do things that brings a reproach to the gospel. And it's so embarrassing for his poor wife. I think he was married to this woman for almost 50 years before he died. Now, can you imagine? And he's got beautiful children. How humiliating is it to find out, to have all these things come out about your father and your husband after he's dead? And even at his memorial service, everybody was lifting him up about what a great man he was. But now, apparently, if they've taken his books, some bookshops are going to stop selling his materials. And I don't know if the ministry had been, they have since acknowledged that the accusations are true after looking at the evidence and hearing the testimony of the women. So, and this, the lady that he was having this relationship with that he had met at one of his services, and they went out to dinner with his wife and her husband. And then Ravi decided he was going to help himself to this girl. And so he started messaging her and wanted to meet her, which they never had any kind of physical contact. It was just mainly, you know, the things they were doing with pictures and text messages and that kind of thing. So it was terrible. It's terrible. But when there's two people involved, it's at least up to one person to say, no, I'm not going to engage in this kind of conduct either. So, but this Lorianne Thompson, she did come out with a video that I think she posted on Twitter where she gives her testimony. She wasn't allowed to talk about the specifics because she's with this non-disclosure agreement, but she was asking that she would be released from it, which that's never going to happen. I doubt that the family's ever going to do that. To add more embarrassment to what's on here, but I'll play some of these audios for you.
Ravi filed a federal lawsuit against a married Canadian woman named Lori Ann Thompson. Now, as a lawyer, when I evaluate this case, I think that Ravi has been blackmailed. But you don't get blackmailed unless you've done something bad, and by his own admission, Ravi has. It's not just that he admits inappropriate conduct, as we have seen in paragraph 75, nor that he didn't report the relationship or the nude photos to his board right away, that he waited until after Ms. Thompson threatened legal action and after she accused him of using her to gratify his own sexual desires. And it's not just that he didn't even try very hard to terminate contact with Lorianne after the sexy photos started coming in. That's all kind of unflattering, but the really explosive stuff is found in a highly confidential legal letter to Ravi, where Lorianne's lawyer states that when she wished to confess the relationship to her husband, Ravi sent her an email threatening suicide. Attorney Mark Bryant told Ravi that he has a copy of that suicide email in his file, and we have to wonder, why would he bluff Ravi about something Ravi did not do? And although Ravi denies many things in his court filing, he did not deny making that written suicide threat. This is explosive stuff that the Christian media has avoided like a potato straight out of hell. Incidentally, Ravi settled his lawsuit last week on November 9th, 2017, so we may never know what exactly happened between Ravi and Lorianne.
So that's it, but that was one thing that he never denied, is the fact that he threatened suicide if she went public. So, of course, it was hard to, you would still have your doubts after you knew that, even though so many people defended him and they didn't want to believe it. But that was troublesome. But here's his business partner talking.
Ravi, you saw so many good things he did. This was a small area of his life. With sin, which every man has sin, and that he did not deal well with, this area, one area of sin.
I agree with you because, I mean, there are times I was also like, I mean, the thing was like, after the thing, he just like delete all my information from the thing. I'm like, what is happening?
Right, why would you do that if you were innocent?
I don't know that what that's the time which was the thing I decided that I need to be out of the business. So, and I helped
because of Robbie's behavior, maybe?
Yeah, that's probably, I remember talking to myself like how excited I was when he said be a partner, and now I'm looking into getting out of it somewhere or other.
I mean, why else would a person who was approached with a possible complaint, why would the reaction be, the normal reaction would be, I didn't do that. Why would the first reaction be, delete all of my appointments?
I see, the thing is, I look at a lot of things, I feel I was blind.
I think you put in to Siobhan total.
See, touch of Eden, I think it was mainly when I spent a lot of time talking about it. I was not part of it, but I, just because I was a partner, so touch of Eden probably 65, 70,000 as a cash. Other than time has the most valuable thing. That's what it
is. Yeah.
Jeevan, after that, touch of Eden, then Jeevan Wellness, probably, I don't even know, it's like 300, 400, maybe much more than that. Because I remember I had to construct the whole thing again because it was for the a hair stylist and all those
right.
things. So we wanted to make it a pure spa. Then we constructed the room, which was like Ayurvedic room with the bath inside and all those things. It was class. I mean, the thing is there. And more than that, it's like it took away the desire of what I wanted to do on the other side, which was creating an ad. I mean, I used a lot of his preaching in a different way, look at it, and it was like, now I understand the golden rule is, he used to tell like, you know, that's how the golden rule is, don't do others as you want them to do to you. In New Jersey, it becomes don't do others and split. New Jersey is like don't do others and, what was that? And then Manhattan was the split, New Jersey, don't do others before they do to you.
It was very sad because his friend Sharma had admired him so much, and the breaking point for him was that they kept records of all his appointments about how many times he had visited his personal massage parlor there, and he asked his friend to delete all his appointments so there would be no record of when he was there. And that was when he said to himself, well, why is he asking me to do that? So maybe these things are true, because the women had been complaining to him about what was going on. But it's very, very sad. And we just need to be so careful, because the devil goes around as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And to give Christianity a bad name, and for people to say, well, look at them, look what they do. And it's just not worth it, really, to bring a reproach to the name of Jesus and to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, that when we're in any kind of public life, or any have any kind of public presence at all, that we conduct ourselves in a manner that's pleasing to the Lord and will bring glory to him. And let it be a lesson, really, let it be a lesson for all of us that anything could happen. Anything could happen, and we have to stay close to the Lord. Next week, we're going to have Jackie on. We were going to do the program today, but something came up, and we couldn't do it. But we were going to talk about this whole New World Order thing and what's up ahead, what Jackie thinks might be up ahead, too, for President Trump and his movement. And then the false prophets, all these false prophets that were prophesying that he was going to get reelected. One thing that's great is Paula White, the Esther of the nation. She was calling herself Esther. She was the Esther of the nation. At least Esther is now unemployed. We can thank God for that. And also this guy that works for her, he was calling her the other day, America's pastor. No, thank you. No, Chanel. We won't have to look at her anymore. She's unemployed now. She's not working for the Trump administration. Her days in the White House are over. But don't forget, you can read the book. The Paula White book is on Amazon, and you can read the Kindle version for free for the next 5 days if you have a Kindle, I mean, if you have an Amazon account. And if you go to Amazon and you put in the keyword Paula White, my book comes up. Actually, the other day, my book was on top of her book, her recent book, Something Greater. Mine was the first one, and hers is the second one, which I thought was great. But anyway, thanks everybody for tuning in. I love you, and I thank you all for listening. And thanks everybody stopping by in the chat room. Thank you, Shannon. Good to see you. God bless you. Hope all is well. And everybody else that's listening around the world, all our listeners, be encouraged. God's still on the throne, no matter what happens. And we pray for God to give us the strength to be able to go through the next few years that we're left here on this earth, that we can go through whatever is going to happen. God only knows, but he'll help us. And remember, the most important thing, maybe you don't know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. And maybe you don't know that when you die, you can go to heaven. You might say to yourself, well, if I die, I don't know where I'm going because I know I'm terrible. Well, God made a way out for you. He sent his only begotten son to give his life for you, and so that you could be forgiven of all your sins, no matter what they are. And you can be born again. You can have a brand new life. I know it happened to me 40 years ago. Yes, 40 years ago. It's hard to believe, but it did. It happened to me. And Jesus changed my life. He gave me a brand new life. My mind was renewed. Old things passed away and all things became new. And I praise the Lord for that 40 years. And it's been a great life to know Jesus Christ and to have his peace and to have his joy in the midst of a storm. Because the Bible says in Romans 10:10 that confession is made with the mouth unto salvation. So you must confess the Lord Jesus Christ and ask him to forgive you of your sins, because we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But salvation is simple. I don't try to make it difficult, you know, that it has to be done this way and it has to be done that way. I know how it was for me. I got down on my knees one night and I asked Jesus. I said, I don't know if you're real, but if you're real, come into my life and change my life. And I am so sorry for my life of sin. And I was changed. I was changed just from that simple prayer, just from that simple heartfelt prayer. I woke up the next day and the blinders were off, and I knew that I didn't have to search anymore. I didn't have to go to this thing and that thing and try to find God here and try to find myself here. I found what I was looking for, and that could be the same for you. God bless you all, and see you next week, okay?
Blessed be